that's part of what you've done, and it's, you know, you're still keeping it. You're still, you know about it.
You know how to do it, and, yeah. One of the things we're doing, Hazel, is that on some of the reserves, some of the skills are lost, they're gone, and so we're making a list of the people on each reserve who know how to do different things so that if someone wanted to learn from another reserve where it had been lost, they know that, say, there was somebody on Muncie wanted to know basket work or corn husk work, they would know that there's a number of women on Oneida who mm-hmm. still know how to do that and could be taught. So.
Basic interviews? Do you have a postal code here?
NOL 2GO.
Oh, okay, that's it. Any additional information you can do yourself. Don't worry about the tape. Like, take your time talking. You'll be nervous about it. Shouldn't say that because I know she's going to start getting nervous.
See, she wouldn't have thought of it if you hadn't mentioned it. Let's just start a little bit, talking a little bit about the crafts that you do. Now, when we saw you the other day, you were with the quilters group. How long have you been with the quilting group?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's quite a while ago now.
Yeah. When did you first learn quilting? Was it with them that you learned it?
No, I learned with my mother and my grandma. My grandma used to do a lot of quilting to show at the fairs.
Is that right?
When I was at 9, I used to help her put the quilts together
mm-hmm.
and then quilt.
And did your mother show quilts at the fair as well?
No, just my grandma did.
Just your grandma?
Yeah.
When you did your basket work, who taught you your basket work?
My mother.
And did she make the baskets to be used in at home, or were they to sell, or?
Yes. My mother used to make a lot of baskets, and I help her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she gets a bunch, and then we take out to sell over to a man that buys baskets. And she used to trade the sack of flour and tea and things like that.
And she would get all the black ash herself?
She used to buy a lock, and we, us kids, used to pound.
Mm-hmm. That's hard work.
Yeah, but we did it.
Yeah. And did you do corn husk work as well?
Yes.
Yeah. What kinds of things did you make?
Oh, just a mat. That's all I made, the husk mats.
And again, your mother was the one who did
it? Yeah.
We were talking to Emily Nicholas, and she was saying that it's hard now to get the corn husks to do it because the farmers cut the corn down.
Yes.
So it's the same problem for you then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time that you made some corn husk mats?
About 15 years ago.
Yeah. See, that's a shame. That's just lost for a lot of people. I think Emily had said that the last time she made one was about 5 or 6 years ago for a teacher who was retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And your beading, do you still do your beading?
Once in a while I do.
What kind of work do you do? Jewelry or for outfits? Or?
Well, it's just jewelry.
When did you learn how to do beadwork? Like, at what age? And how, did you find it complicated when you first started out?
It wasn't too hard, because I just did my own, bought the beads, and I tried to do it my own.
You taught yourself, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So when did you get interested in it? Like, why?
Because I saw the other people, what they do, and I thought I'd try to.
Did you ever sell it?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I used to take it to London. A lady there, she used to buy them, and as well as baskets.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever go back to doing basketball?
I would if I was well enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not that well to do it anymore, because it's a hard work.
Yes.
Even now, sewing. Not too good for heart trouble.
Do you have children, Hazel?
No, I don't.
I was wondering if whether you, there was someone else that you had passed your skills on to or taught.
Well, I brought up a young boy, and he married to a girl from Kettle Point. She has, they have two boys. They like to do the beadwork too.
Do you get to see them very much? Do they come down here?
Well, since their mother is a teacher in Cornwall now, they don't come back too often.
with the work that you're still doing, it's you're really still doing the quilting then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get out of it? Why do you keep doing it?
Oh, it seems that I just like to do, to make something.
Mm-hmm. When you were learning it and you were growing up, I know that some was used in the family and some was sold. Was the craft work more important to the family back then than it is now? Like, do you see that families see the craft work as more important or less important than they did when you were a girl?
Well, my younger days, it seems that what we make, and we used to sell it, that's how we make the money. A little bit, not much, but something.
Do you think that there are enough young women doing the work these days?
Well, there's a lot of them doing, but I think that's what, because they want to sell it, and
are there ever times on the reserve or opportunities for you to sell your work or exhibit your work?
Yeah, so like fairs, they have they go out and sell.
Did you ever take, like when you were doing beadwork, did you ever take your work out to malls and sell?
No.
Did anybody ever come to you and ask you to do work for them or teach?
No.
Is there anything else besides like the beadwork and the quilting, the basket? Is there anything else you do, like the native cooking, like the soup, corn soup making, or bread making, or?
Well, I used to have a I used to make corn soup and have a booth at the fairs and sell corn soup and cornbread and things
That's
like that.
There's a long process to that.
Yeah.
Maybe one day you can show up. Show me. I had one woman come up to London and do that. So, but she was talking so fast and doing everything so fast.
Oh yeah.
You couldn't all catch it at one time. Do you belong to like a women's auxiliary or a women's group?
No.
No, just a quilting.
Yeah. Well, I just belong to a homemakers club and a church ladies.
Did you ever hear of stories of women, Native women, years ago doing this kind of work? You never heard stories?
No.
The homemakers group, tell me a little bit about that. Is that through the church, or is it a homemakers group for the reserve, or...?
Yeah, for the reserve.
And what kinds of things does a homemakers group do?
Well, they put up, they help, sick people, and they go out and they'll go to home and do the work for them if they're not able to. If a person's not able to do her own work. That's what they used to do, but not anymore.
Not so much anymore.
No.
Are there any crafts that you remember that were done when you were a girl that are not being done today? Any other crafts that you see are just gone that were done here in Oneida?
I guess the only thing that they used to make boats too, for plants out of bark, like a hanging for plants.
From what kind of bark?
That I don't know.
No,
I don't remember.
I have one guy give me that, a boat.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the Oneida language teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he gave me a boat. He sings in a band, Raymond, Ray. And I think, I'm not too sure, I'm not really familiar with trees, but it's got like a, almost like an ash type tree. It's got all the little crazy little lines in it. That's what it's made out of.
Yeah.
And at home on my reserve, they make it out of birch bark.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a big difference.
Yeah, of what's available, because there isn't very much birch around here.
I think that they use is that white ash bark.
Yeah, because there's the black ash, and that it's a lot different than the white ash.
Yeah. And they used to make axe handles and hammer handles and things like that out of hickory.
What about the drums? Like, what about the drum? Do they still carry on the tradition, like? Or even rattles, like the turtle rattle and the drum.
I think they do.
Things like the basket making and corn husk work. I know that Katie Sickles and her daughter seem to be the only two people that are still making the baskets now.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. What do you think could be done to keep these crafts from dying out, so that the next generation knows how to do them? What do you think would be needed to keep them alive? Or do you think it's important to keep those crafts alive?
Well, I think they should try and keep it up. Because you never know when you need to do something to make money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Carolyn had said, for her, doing the bead work was a way for her to really hold on to her sense of being Indian. That was really important to her.
Mm-hmm.
That it was something that the other people out in the world couldn't do. That mm-hmm. it was just her own.
Yeah.
Does it have that meaning?
I think so. Yeah.
In any of the work that you've done, do you ever look at your work as being a tool to help you understand other people that are around you? Like in beadwork, they teach you patience and understanding. And when you're bringing up your kids, you need that. You need that patience and understanding. In any kind of work that anybody does, it's usually a lot of people don't know that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I forget who we were talking to. They said that when you're doing a piece of work, you should always finish it because it's teaching your child how to finish what they start.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then it's always going to be uncompleted.
Yeah.
And have you ever taken your work and used it in that way?
Wow. It seems that myself, it seems sometimes I got so many things to do. Sometimes I just don't finish it what I
mm-hmm. Well, what it's I not have that, started. That you don't finish. It's mm-hmm. just I use a lot of things that I do as teaching tools towards my children or towards my friends, how to understand my friends. Like
yeah.
maybe some of them go out and drink and I don't drink.
Uh-huh.
So maybe in some of the work that I'm doing, it's teaching me how to understand why they're doing what they're doing, why
yes.
they're hurting themselves.
Uh-huh.
So I use a lot of my work to understand other people or even to teach people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I have a lot of friends that want to do beadwork, but they don't want to take the time, they don't have the patience, and they don't have the understanding, so I have to teach them that while I'm teaching beadwork at the same time. Like
yes.
a lot of them, they go fast, you know, they want to get it done so fast.
Uh-huh.
They don't care how it looks as long as it gets done. And I tell them, hey, slow down, you know, take your time.
Yeah.
It's still going to be there tomorrow. If
uh-huh.
you don't finish tonight, it'll still be there tomorrow. You can continue tomorrow
yeah.
until it's finished. But don't work so fast because it's not meaning nothing. You're putting your everything into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean when I ask you if you
yeah.
you use that.
Yeah, it's nice that a person could be doing things like that because I think that's the way that you wouldn't want to go out and be doing just foolish things out in the world.
Because a long time ago, even in my grandmother's days, for everything that a person was told to do, there was always a reason behind it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I used to hate washing clothes on the scrub board, but that was teaching me something. And it wasn't just teaching me how to clean clothes. It
uh-huh.
was teaching me a value in life. So, like, that's what I wanted to know is, do you, or have you ever used that towards any values in your life? Like your beading, or your basket making, your quilting. There's values in everything that you
yeah,
do.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever looked at it that way?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because there's not too many people use that as a value system. I think all the beaters that I've met never ever took it that way. As,
uh-huh.
Like you stumble across it
sometime oh,
yeah. in your life, it comes to you that, hey, there's a value I'm learning. But it's just like even the colors.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the meaning of the colors?
No, I don't.
No. It's too bad because they have a lot of good meanings. There's a lot of good meanings in the colors.
Uh-huh.
When I teach the meanings along with the colors. I try to make the people use the colors that I know the meanings of.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's very, very difficult because they like pink. And are they like mauve? Are they like fuchsia? And those are, like, some of them have meanings, but I don't go as far as the eight colors.
Mm-hmm.
Like the black, red, white, you know, and brown. All of them have meanings.
Mm.
And that's why I was wondering if you had any of the meanings or if you were ever taught the meanings.
No way. No, I wasn't. Never taught that. Like that.
Do you think that would be worthwhile to learn?
I think so. Yeah, it'd be nice.
Hey, so when you were a girl, where did you go to school?
Number two.
So that was here? You didn't have to... Did you have to go away? Was it a residential school? Or?
No. The only time I went to other school is in when we had to move out to my dad. Would go out and cut the wood.
How did you like the idea of integrating at that time, like going from the reserve life to a non-reserve life? Did you find it difficult to go from one, okay, from the Indian world to the white world? Did you find it very hard at that time to?
Yes. Yes, because we couldn't speak in English.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of hard.
Were you punished at all in school for speaking Oneida?
I never, when I went there, but that's what they say, that was a tavern to Devon once. Yeah.
I was there too, but not down around this area.
Mm-hmm.
When you were in school, were the things about your Indian culture, whether it was your language or your crafts, did you have any feeling that those were considered important by the people at the school? Or was it only to learn to live in the white world that was important to them?
Well, I don't know. To me, it was... That was kind of hard for me to learn that. Even to write. Anything that schoolwork, I didn't like.
What do you think about the Longhouse religion and the religion, the Anglican or the United religion? I don't know how to call it.
Christian religion.
Yeah, the Christian.
Yeah, because I noticed
religion.
Christian. Like, are both religions a part of your life? The old way and the Christian, or?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you're the first one that said that. Usually they just say no. It's just Christianity. And I can't understand that part if they don't accept going into the white school world and then going into Christianity, and yet they're coming from a different area altogether. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But you're the first one that admitted to the fact that, yeah, you do believe in both. But it's good because you have... I think that it's good in a way. In a way, I don't. It's like, with me, it's like this all the time because I've been in both worlds. And I've seen Christianity. And yet...